The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8. Jeremiah, chapter number 8. And thank you, many of you have been here every night this week. Every night you could. Thank you so much for being faithful in the house of God. I want to encourage you. Brother Mark, I invited somebody, but they did not come. Let me encourage them. Tomorrow, give them a call. Drive by their house. Make an effort to get them here in the house of God on Sunday. But what a joy to be here this week. Jeremiah, chapter number 8 in your Bible, one verse tonight, verse number 20. The Bible says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." If tonight we could journey down and stand outside the gates of hell, echoing out from behind those gates, we'd hear these words: "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." On Judgment Day, the great choir of the damned will sing in unison: "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." G. Campbell Morgan was the greatest Bible teacher on the face of the earth from about 1920 to 1950. They could not find an auditorium so big he could not fill it every night for at least 2 or 3 weeks. Campbell Morgan said this, one verse in the Bible, every time I read it, caused my hair on the back of my neck to stand on end, sent a shudder down my spine. You guessed it, it was this verse right here: "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." 3 points. Number one, first of all, an exhortation to live for God. You say, "Brother Mark, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, and someday I'm going to live for God." A question, why someday? Can Jesus Christ get more worth you in the future than he is right now? He cannot. Can the redemption of lost souls be more proper in the future than it is right now? It is not. My friend, here is an exhortation that God gives us to live for God. The harvest is past. First of all, to live for God. I hope you're living for God. If you're not, I hope you'll determine to really live for God. Not just to be a Sunday morning Christian, but on the job, in the school, with your family, you'll have a testimony that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. A third grade Sunday school teacher stood before his men one Sunday morning, his class, and said, "Gentlemen, why do you reckon people call me a Christian?" One third grader said, "Well, I know why, sir. It's probably because they don't know you." I like that. I like that, okay? Let me ask you. Do the people you hang around with know you're a Christian? Does your neighbor, 90 foot from here, you say, "What?" Yeah, Jesus said, "What? You ought to love your neighbor as yourself." You got saved one day. Why? You said, "I don't want to go to hell." Let me ask you. Does your neighbor know how to go to heaven? That's Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. If 40 foot from your front door, that person does not know how to get saved, then my friend, you have a mission field right there, right next door. Years ago, there was a church, a very unusual church, called the First Baptist Church of Moscow, Russia. Here's what was unusual about it. In 1 year, they baptized, let me get this straight, in 1 year, they baptized 129 people on profession of faith. Saved and baptized in 1 year. Where? In Moscow, Russia. Think this through now. Wait, follow me, please. 129, here we go. Before the 129 people saved, are you ready for this? Before they got saved, 102 were professing atheists, didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe in God. Grew up in that godless, wait, what happened? They got, no wait, in Russia you couldn't have revival meetings. In Russia you could not have a visitation program. Don't miss this. How did those folk get saved? One reason, in school, in godless Russian plants, on the job, Christian people lived for God and acted like God, and the way their life is showing, and they come to Christ and said, "Hey, what do you have that we don't have?" That's the only way in Russia in those days they could get. You say, "Preacher, how I live is my business." It's not your business. How you live is Christ's business. My Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord. Oh, my friend, 102 atheists found Christ. Why? Because in the worst possible condition, Christian men and women stood up and lived for God and were not ashamed of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. An exhortation to live for God. And my friend, God wants you to live for him. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Number two, an exhortation to use our lips for God. Now, look in your Bible. Turn over. It's important tonight. To Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter number 2. I'll give you the background real quick. Ezekiel chapter 2, these people are prisoners of war, taken away from their home country. Ezekiel chapter 2, the leader there is a man named Ezekiel. He was a born-again believer. Now, watch carefully. I'm going to read several verses. Ezekiel chapter 2, look in your Bible at verse number 4. God said, I send thee to them, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. What did God say? Hey, go witness to these people. Go tell them how to get saved. Someone told you, don't let them stop there. Go and tell somebody else how to get saved. Now look again, please. Look in your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. God again told Ezekiel, thou shalt speak my word unto them. Said Ezekiel, get up, get out there, knock on some doors, give out some tracts, give your testimony. Don't just sit there and watch the world go to hell. Ezekiel, he said, get out there, speak to these people. Look at your Bible again, Ezekiel chapter 3, chapter 1. He said, go, speak unto the house of Israel. God hammers that and presses it on. Look on down, please. Verse 4. He said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. God is pleading, God is commanding, God is urging. Get out there, share, witness, have a testimony. Tell folk how not to go to hell. Now look at another verse. Look at verse number 11. Go, get thee unto them in their captivity, the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Six times, God tells Ezekiel, get out there and witness. Get out there and be a soldier. Now wait, what was Ezekiel's response to God's command? Much like yours, I'm afraid, and mine. Look in your Bible. Look on down now, carefully. Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 15. And I came to them in their captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt with them in Chebar. Here's Ezekiel. I sat where they sat, remained there astonished among them 7 days. Think on that. Six times God commanded him. God urged him. God to get out there, be a witness. Ezekiel said, I came there where those people were. I sat down. I didn't warn. I didn't witness. And I sat there 7 days and didn't say a word. But that's not the end of the story. When you don't witness, it's not ho-hum. No, read further. Look in your Bible at verse number 16. Came to pass at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord come unto me. Ezekiel said, God spoke to me. Verse 17, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save that man his life, that same wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. What did God say? You failed to warn that unsaved person. You failed to warn that person on your team, that kid you go to school with, that neighbor you claim to call a friend. You failed to warn him. What happened? On Judgment Day, Ezekiel said, as they stand before God and they're condemned and damned, you sit back there and say, why didn't I warn? Ezekiel said, their blood will drip from your hands. The Apostle Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. What are you going to feel like? Oh, yeah, you lied. You said, I'm your friend. You weren't their friend. Wake up. Wake up. Friends don't live. The worst thing can happen to anybody is to go to hell. And you're probably in America today the only Christian somebody knows. And if you don't warn them and they split the gates of hell wide open, their blood will be on your hands when they stand before God and are condemned and are damned. Number one, first of all, very simple tonight, go back to Jeremiah chapter 8. Number one, an exhortation to live for God. There was a great musician named Charles Alexander. Back in late 1800s, early 1900s, he traveled with some great evangelists in those days. Billy Sunday was one. Sometimes in the choir in those big meetings, there are 10,000 people. Alexander was a phenomenal song leader. Better than that, he was a great soul winner. And he had a meeting R.A. Torrey this time. And he went down about 11 o'clock in the afternoon to get something to eat. And he went in and walked in a restaurant. The manager took him over, seated him. He's sitting there. He looked up. A young waiter come to wait on him. And Alexander said this, man, I felt in my heart, God said, witness to that young man. He came, brought water, brought a menu and left. Alexander didn't witness. He said, when he comes back, I will. Young man came back to take the order. Alexander said, I gave him the order. And again, I felt the Spirit of God urging me, witness to that young man. He said, for some reason, I didn't do it. He brought the food. Again, the Spirit of God tapped me on the shoulder and said, witness to him. Tell him. Warn him. So I didn't do it. So pretty soon he brought the check. Alexander, who won hundreds of people to Christ one-on-one, said, never in my life did I feel such an urge to witness as I did to that young man. I did not do it. He said, I paid the bill, went out. I walked 3 blocks down the street and said, I blew it. Turned around, he walked 3 blocks back. The manager met him. He said, sir, I'd like to talk to that tall, dark-haired waiter. The manager said, that's impossible. He said, sir, I have to talk to him about something, the most important thing in the world. Can I talk to him? You know, that's impossible. He said, sir, I'll tell you how important it is. I'll give you a $20 bill. Let me talk to him for 10 minutes. He said, you were just in here. Yes, sir. You sat right there. Yes, sir. He said, sir, you're the last person I ever talked to that young man. He had all kinds of trouble. After he cleaned the dirty dishes off your table, took them to the kitchen, he went upstairs, walked in the room, closed the door, took a derringer out of his pocket, cocked it, put it to his head, pulled the trigger, and committed suicide. He said, mister, you're the last person in this world that man ever talked to. Oh, my friend, realize the next time you have a chance to witness, it may be that person's final opportunity. The Bible says, buy up, grab the chance to witness about Jesus Christ. First of all, very simple, an exhortation to live for God, exhortation to witness for God. Number two, an expiration. Look at that verse again, Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past. Then he said, the summer is ended. Now, I live in Illinois, and they grow corn there and other stuff. But see, summertime is harvest time. Wait. Harvest doesn't last forever. Please hear me. God can save anybody. He can save anybody, anywhere. Hear this. God does not save people just any time. What are you saying, preacher? There comes a time when God speaks to a man, convicts a man, tries to get that man saved. That man says, no, 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 no. And the Bible says there comes a time when God just stops witnessing. Unless some die and go to hell. Think of Romans chapter 1. God spoke to their heart about salvation. They said no. Again, they said no. Again, they said no. What does the Bible say? God gave them up. God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to go to hell. You see, my friend, when God speaks to your heart, you're making a decision regarding the one that's nearest and dearest to his heart. His own son. And God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Hear me. The only person tonight between you and heaven is not this preacher. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man cometh except the Father draw him. The Bible says, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. In your Bible, the greatest chapter on salvation is John 3. Hear it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, not he will not, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, the Spirit of God will speak to your heart about being saved. You say no. You'll speak again. No, again, no, again. And pretty soon, he just gives up, stops trying to get you saved. That's why I mentioned there, God gave them up. Hey, if you reject Christ tonight, it may be the last time you hear the voice of God till judgment day when God condemns you right to your face. Don't trifle with salvation tonight, whatever you do. I was preaching down in Brother Butler's church down in Tennessee. Great church. And a couple came one night, a very attractive couple. I mean, really, this couple had class, good-looking couple, you know, came and sat in the back, and they listened pretty intent. Afterward, the pastor and a guy in the church come up to me and said, you know who that guy in the back row was? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, that guy, he said, years ago, here in this town, we had a factory, okay? And the factory was a Fruit of the Loom factory. They make underwear, okay? Therefore, I'll deal with that briefly. Is that okay? Yeah. Anyway, he said, that guy managed that plant. He said, at one time, they had about 5,000 people there. He said, that guy is a multimillionaire. When they closed the plant down, rumors are, because he ran it so long and did so well, that man got a $10 million bonus. He said, here's what that guy does. He's a loan shark. If a factory wants to borrow money or an individual, they go to him. He'll loan you money, but at an extremely high rate of interest. He said, that man is my best friend, really. We go hunting together. I've witnessed to him. He said, tonight he came to me after the service and said, I like that guy. I'm going to come back on Wednesday night, the last night, and hear his message on when demons dance with delight. I want to hear that. Wednesday night, him and his wife came back, sit over on my left. I preached that night. The man was just riveted. I finished preaching. I said, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand up high. He went just like this. I prayed for him and 9 other people. I said, okay, go sing a song tonight. You want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Cutler. The deacons are down here. Let's stand and sing. Man, people flooded to the front to get saved. I looked back and he was wiping the tears away. But he didn't come. I closed the service. I said, amen. I started to leave the platform. That man ran down and grabbed me. He said, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you right now. Okay, let's go in this room. We went and closed the door. I said, how can I help you? He said, I don't know if you can or not. He said, 26 years ago, I took a herd of cattle with another guy. I said, I took a big truckload of cattle. He said, down to Missouri, because the price there was great for cattle. He said, we had to stay overnight. He said, guess what? We went to a revival meeting just like this one. He said, that guy preached that night. He said, I sat there. I knew I needed to get saved. I was shaking. I was weeping. I was trembling. He gave the invitation. He said, I grabbed a hold of the back of the pew ahead of me to fight it off. It was so strong. He said, I just sat down in the pew and wept and sobbed. I did not get saved. He said, preacher, this is the first time in 27 years God ever spoke to my heart. Can I get saved tonight? I said, sir, if God spoke to your heart, you can get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. I would wager this is the last time God's going to ever speak to your heart. And you reject Christ tonight, you might as well make reservations in hell. God's been patient with you 27 years. You've trampled. Here's what happens. The Bible says you reject Christ. You're guilty of counting the blood an unholy thing. You say, Christ's blood is like hog blood. Yeah. You do despite to the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is trying to, and the Bible says, you shove him away and say, don't bother me, I don't have time for you. It's a dangerous thing, and it may be a damning thing tonight, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. One more thought. And we are not saved. Now, let me emphasize two thoughts. Not saved. Why do folk go to hell? Not because Christ didn't love them. Not because Christ didn't die for them. Not because Christ gave them the opportunity and paid the price for salvation. No. They go to hell because they got too much pride to accept Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something, gang? There's no pride in hell. In Luke 16, a very, very wealthy man died and went to hell. Pride, full of pride, arrogance. But in hell, he's begging and pleading for a drop of water. What are you saying, preacher? Your pride may get you into hell, but it can't get you out of hell. What's somebody going to say? Who cares? Wake up. It's your soul, your destiny. Once you go to hell, there's no way out of hell. Not tears, not prayers, not a church. Nothing can ever get you out of hell. That's why tonight you want to know that Christ is your Savior. And you want to know for sure that you're on the way to heaven. Hear me. Nobody ever made reservations in hell. Understand that. The millions of people in hell right now, most of them said, I'll never go there. I'll just say before it's too late. I know what I should do. I'm going to do it someday. But someday became death day. And they died before they got saved. And I'll repeat it. The Bible says everlasting punishment, everlasting torment. You wind up in hell. There is no way out. I want to repeat it. You don't have to go to hell tonight. That's why there was a man, God man named Jesus on a cross. Covered with blood, covered with spittle. He hung there, ridiculed, made fun of. But he died. Why? On that cross, he was bearing your sin that you might not go there. But if you reject him, there's no other road except the road through the gates of hell. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In the late 1800s, in the early 1900s, very early 1900s, the greatest preacher was a man named Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was an unusual man. He was about 5'6", probably weighed over 400 pounds, had a great big beard, but man, when he preached, things happened. Things happened. That's Dwight L. Moody. And years ago, they used to have what they called the World's Fair. The point was, they'd bring in all these attractions all over the world to a city. This year, it was Chicago. They brought all the great attractions around the world into Chicago. The World's Fair was in Chicago. And that's where Dwight L. Moody lived. And Dwight L. Moody said this. He said, hey, I got a great idea. There'll be thousands of visitors from all over the world. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rent the largest hall there is in Chicago, and I'm going to have a revival meeting for 4 weeks in a row, every night. He did, and amazing. Around the world, people come to see what it was about. They come to hear Moody, and years around the world, they got saved. Hundreds and hundreds got saved. And Dwight L. Moody stood up to preach one night, read his text. On the front row was a young man. 9 nights in a row, that young man is set there. This was night number 10 on the front row. 9 nights in a row, Moody said, if you're not sure you're a Christian, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. 9 nights in a row, he raised his hand to get saved. Never come forward to accept Christ. Dwight L. Moody preached that night, had them bow their head. If you're not sure you're a Christian, let me pray for you. Raise your hand, he said. The first hand he saw was that young man. If you want to get saved, come on down here. He said, hundreds come. That young man didn't move. Moody turned to the song leader and said, close in prayer. Got his Bible, went down and sat down with that young man. He said, son, you're not a Christian, are you? He said, no, sir. He said, could I show you how? Please do. Moody showed him four things. Listen to me. If you can count to four, you can go to heaven. If you can count to four and accept it, you can go to heaven. Number one, Moody showed him he was a sinner. He said, I've got no problem with that. Number two, Moody explained to him, because you've broken God's law, the punishment is forever in the flames of hell. But number three, he said, I've got good news. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was sinless. He didn't die for his sin. He died for your sin. Here it is. Hear me, son. He made it possible for you to be saved. You don't have to go to hell. He said, but now, here's the last point. To be a Christian, you have to personally invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. So now, young man, let's kneel here and we'll pray. Yeah, no, 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 no. He said, Moody, wait a minute. If I got saved, the crowd I run with, could I have your attention, please? They'd make fun of me. They'd ridicule me. They'd laugh at me. Moody said, son, I'd rather get saved than burn in hell. You better get some things right. He said, wait. So Moody, I thought it through. The company I work for told me, next week, I'm going to be transferred to another town. Here are my plans. Sunday morning, I'll find a Bible preaching church. I'll go to that church. Nobody knows me there. Sunday morning at the invitation, I'll come down the aisle and tell the pastor, I want to get saved. Moody said, son, that is dangerous. Suppose you die between now and next Sunday. You'll break hell. He said, Moody, that's how it is, and walked away. It was almost 6 months later. Dwight L. Moody lived in Chicago, walking down the street, looked. What's that young man? Moody called, hey, my friend, how you doing? He said, okay. He said, I got to ask you the question. Did you ever get saved? He said, Moody, I didn't lie to you. He said, I went to that other town. I was there a month. He said, every Sunday morning, I raised my hand. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He said, Moody, I wanted to and I should have. I just didn't get saved. Moody said, son, I got good news. Above that building right there, on the upper story, lives the greatest Christian in Chicago. I got my Bible. Why don't you come with me? We'll go up there, and right now, I'll help you. You can get saved. He said, not now, Moody, and walked on down the street. 6 years go by. Dwight L. Moody, somebody tells him, says, hey, so-and-so is in the hospital. He said, I'll go see him. Moody walked in, talked to him. He said, now, son, he said, you thought about getting saved. He said, you're in the hospital now, and they're not sure you're going to get out. Come on, Let me tell you one more time, then you get saved. He said, how about it? Moody showed him how. He said, Moody, I'm not lying to you. I've lied to you before. Not this time. The first Sunday I'm out of here, I'm coming to your church. I'll be the first one down the aisle to get saved. But it never happened. From the first meeting, 14 years go by. Dwight L. Moody sits down to have lunch. He goes and opens the door. There's a man there. He said, sir, there's a man dying in the hospital down the street, in a home down the street. You ought to go see him. Moody got up from the supper table, walked down the street, found the house, went up and knocked on the door. A lady opened the door. He said, ma'am, is Mr. So-and-so here? She said, yeah. He said, I'm Dwight L. Moody. I'd like to talk to him. She said, you're wasting your time. He's dying. He knows he's dying. All he's saying is, my damnation is sealed. My damnation is sealed. I have no desire to get saved. I have no desire. She said, you can try. Moody said he walked up the stairs, walked down a small hallway, turned to walk in the room where that young man was. That young man saw him. He said, Moody, get out. He said, God spoke to my heart time and time again. I told God no time and time again. He said, Moody, the doctor stood right where you're standing. He told me by about midnight tonight, I'll be dead. He said, I'm certain, Moody, when I die, I'm going to hell. I believe in hell as much as you do. But Moody, he said, I have no desire to get saved. My damnation is sealed. Young man went into coma. Dwight L. Moody sat there with an open Bible, read the Bible and prayed he'd have one more chance to witness to that young man. Just as it was getting super dark, Moody looked over, saw that man lying there, saw his lips moving. Moody got up, went over, leaned down, put his ear against that young man's lips. Here's what he heard. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and I am not saved, and I am not saved. And he screamed and dropped into hell. He said, I'll get saved someday. And God said, you trampled on my son for the last time. If you ever intend to get saved, I'll give you God's time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're not sure, make sure tonight. If you're not saved, make sure tonight. You say, I'm a Christian, I'm not living for God. How many more people are going to hell because you don't have the courage to tell them there's a sin in your life? Now's the time to get right with God. Bow your head for prayer. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Two questions. Oh, be honest, please. Question number one, the most important question you'll ever hear. If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Yeah, I thought about that. I was driving down the road and saw a horrible car wreck, and I thought, man, if I die tonight, where would I be? A kid at school got killed in an accident. I thought about that. Yeah. My mom and dad, their friend died. I went to their funeral, and I thought, man, someday they're going to bury me. Where am I going to be? Thank God. You can know where you're going to be if you'll accept Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, who tonight will say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm a Christian. Or maybe I know I'm not a Christian, but I'm concerned about that. I know it's important. I know there's no way out of hell once I get there. Preacher, I'm not sure, or I know I'm not, but I want you to pray for me. I would be honored. Now listen, I will not point you out. I will not embarrass you. I'll not try to drag you down the aisle. But you say, Brother Mark, I'm concerned about this. Pray for me. Will you just right now, quickly and quietly, lift that hand up toward heaven. Let me see it. Put it right back down. I'm just not sure, but you can sure pray for me. Could I see it? I'll wait 10 seconds. When you get hell, you don't have 10 seconds. It's over. The gates are shut. You're sealed forever. Anybody? I'm not sure, preacher, but pray for me. Let me see your hand quickly, quickly, quickly. All right? Question number two. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living for God like I should. Instead of helping my friends and maybe my parents and co-workers and people I hang around with, instead of helping them get saved, I keep my mouth shut. I'm a coward. I'm a chicken because of sin in my life. Preacher, I'm saved, but there's sin in my life. And the Bible says when sin comes in the life of a Christian, the first thing he stops doing is witnessing. Oh, preacher, I don't want to someday sit up there and watch a friend cast into hell because I wouldn't witness because of sin, because of my stinking pride. Maybe you say, Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but I'm not living right. I need to get rid of the sin and become a dynamic powerhouse for God, brave to witness, bold to share Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed tonight, who will say, Preacher, I am a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight about the importance of witnessing to people I love that aren't saved and don't know how. Or God spoke to my heart about clean up my life. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian. God spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Let me see your hand right now. Get it up there high. Get it high. Don't lie to God. Get it high. He sees your heart. That's right. All over the place. Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. All right. Anybody else? Preacher, as you pray for these others, pray for me. I want to really be a witness for Jesus Christ. 10 seconds. Anybody else? Let me see the hand. Thank you, young man. Anybody else? I have three teenagers. Good. Anybody else? Holy Ghost, thank you tonight for your visitation. And God, I pray if there are people here without God, without Christ, and without hope, oh God, tonight, may they not bluff their way into hell. May they get honest and realize they're not saved. And tonight, may they flee from the wrath to come to Jesus Christ. God, I pray for a great number of believers tonight, adults and teenagers and even young people, raise their hand about the matter of witnessing and sharing and cleaning up their life. Oh God, I pray tonight, sin might be confessed. I pray tonight, those that are scared might become bold and mighty for Jesus Christ as they confess their sin and set out to tell others about Him. Listen quietly. The pastor's going to be here at the front. In a minute, we're going to stand. We're not going to sing. The instrument's going to play. Now listen carefully. If you're not sure you're saved, I'm going to invite you to do the greatest thing you're ever going to do. I'm going to invite you to do that. If you don't do it, screaming in hell a billion years from tonight, you'll say, why didn't I do it? If you need to get saved tonight, when I have you stand, don't give the devil a chance. Don't give him a chance. On that first note, you start welcome. Get out of that seat in the nearest aisle. Make your way to the front and tell the pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. What's going to happen? Somebody will take you in a room, a man with a man, lady with a lady. Open the Bible, show you how you can know you're on the way to heaven, not by church membership, not by baptism, by inviting Christ into your heart to be your Savior. You say, I'm a little frightened, okay? Ask the person beside you. What a thrill, what a joy for that person beside you to walk down the aisle with you and go in a room with you and be right there when you get saved. Wow, what a joy. I guarantee you, if you want to get saved, that person beside you would be thrilled and love to come with you tonight. Huh? That's it. That's the invitation. You want to get saved? Come and tell a preacher. You're a Christian. You just need to get right with God. I want you to shove all hell aside. Trample on the devil. Get out of there and come tonight to the altar and pray. And let God use you. Are we ready?